Chapter 12. Are you all right, Gunny? Captain Frey ran over to the squat rack where Margaret Adams had slipped and fallen. If the rack wasn't equipped with automatic stops to prevent the heavy bar from going all the way to the floor, Adams would have been crushed. Yes? Adams slapped the padded floor angrily, pushing herself to her knees, then to her feet. I'm fine, ma'am. Frey cocked her head, looking between the weight bar and the gunnery sergeant. The bar was set to a much lower weight than she had seen the Marine lift before, and Frey had seen Adams struggling through several sets of squats. You're not feeling it today? It shouldn't matter whether I'm feeling it. Adams rolled her sore shoulder, angry at herself. It does matter, because you're human. Listen to your body, the Canadian special operator reminded Adams of her own words. That's always good advice. Yes, ma'am. Adams wiped down the weight bar, then threw the towel over her shoulder. Her legs were shaking from the effort to lift much less than her typical weight, and something was wrong with the shoulder she had fallen on. Continuing to struggle through her exercises would only be depressing and risk further injury, so she stomped out the door of Valkyrie's gym, ignoring the people staring at her with concern. In her cabin, she stripped off her sweat-soaked clothes and showered quickly, getting dressed in her field uniform. Sitting down to pull on shoes, she suddenly found herself crying, and she didn't know why. Crying for no reason made her angry. She wiped away the tears, but she only sat on the couch, disgusted with herself. It was the third time that week that she found herself crying for no reason. Except it was not for no reason. It was because of many reasons. Are you all right, Gunnery Sergeant? Skippy's voice came softly from the speaker in the ceiling. He knew not to manifest his avatar without notice. I'm fine, Skippy. You don't sound fine, he said as his avatar appeared slowly. You look unhappy. The ship is going straight to Earth from here after we stop at a relay station. Everyone else seems excited to be going home. I am excited. I want to see my family again. It's been too long. But I sense a but in there. Everyone is leaving, Skippy. The war is over. This might be my last mission with the Merry Band of Pirates. I'll never see most of them again. The people we rescued from Rikers, the civilians, they will go back home to whatever family they have left. I will probably never see them again either. Perhaps not. Is that all? Is what all? I don't think you told me what is really bothering you. She stiffened. It is not any of your business what... May I ask you a personal question? She glared at him. I only recently am allowing you to talk with me again. Be careful what you... What happened to you? You used to be a badass. He plowed ahead, undeterred. Now you mope around, afraid to admit to yourself what is bothering you. It's like, she waved a hand through his avatar, we are done talking, Skippy. Unlike every time before, his avatar came right back. No, we are not. You need someone to talk with, and you won't talk with any of the crew, so I am not talking with you. I don't trust you, Skippy. You don't know what trust is. Bullshit. What? Gosh, did I mumble? Let me repeat myself. Bull shit. Who the hell are you to... You talk about trust, but you don't trust other people. That made her pause. I trust people who have earned my... You don't trust Joe. Another pause. Longer. I trust Colonel Bishop with my life. We all do. You don't trust Joe. You asked him to find a way around the regulations that keep you apart. You don't trust him to make it happen. You won't even talk to him about it. You listened to us? That is, I was your doctor back then. I had to closely monitor your mental and emotional state. I have not revealed anything you said, nor will I ever do that. When I am acting as the ship's doctor, I take my responsibilities very seriously, and it is killing me. Joe worries that you said what you said only because nanomachines were affecting your judgment and emotions. That is not true, and you know it. I wasn't myself back then. You weren't yourself yesterday, and you won't be yourself tomorrow, Margaret. People adjust and adapt to their environment. If you're not growing and adapting, you're stagnating. Whatever emotions you were experiencing at that time, they were real. That is, how do I know that? How did you feel about Joe before you were injured? Whatever you say, I will not tell anyone, even though I hate that I can't say anything to Joe. Skippy, I do not want to talk about this to you. Talk about it to yourself, then. You have been avoiding the subject, and it is hurting you. Yes, you are a different person now than you were before the injury. That has nothing to do with the nanomachines or the therapy you went through. Ask yourself this question. Do you feel any different about Joe now than you did before the incident? There was a much longer pause. No, she said slowly, quietly, realizing the truth only as she spoke. Then what is... There is something else that hasn't changed. I am still in the United States Marine Corps, Skippy.
Oh,
he rolled his eyes. Screw the Marine Corps! Skippy, that is not the way to get me to... You care about the Marine Corps. I do not. I care about you, and I care about Joe. You know that I think all of you are just smelly, filthy, ignorant monkeys, but damn it, you are my friends. His voice choked up. It kills me to see you unhappy, to see both of you unhappy. You're unhappy because you won't talk to each other and because of some silly regulations that never envisioned mixed-gender crews serving aboard an isolated ship far from home for years. As a neutral outside observer, all I can say is screw your regulations. I'm in the military, Skippy. Joe is too. We swore an oath we are bound by regulations. Yes, I know. Joe says rules of conduct are the difference between an army and a mob. He is right about that. Margaret, he sighed. I watched you sneak into an enemy camp and disarm a basement full of explosives. Your pulse rate hardly increased at all while you were pulling detonators out of those charges, and a single slip-up could have killed you. Yet now, here, safe aboard the most powerful ship in the galaxy, you are afraid to even talk with Joe. It's complicated, Skippy. Excuse me, but it is not. The issue is simple. You don't trust Joe. You won't even talk to him. I don't want to hurt him, Skippy. For us, this is a no-win situation. Margaret, you don't know that. I cannot believe I am saying this. Trust Joe's awesomeness. He is a doofus, but he is the one person you should trust more than anyone. You serious about that? Yes. No, Skippy. She knelt on the floor to be eye to eye with the Avatar. None of your absent-minded bullshit. I need you to be straight with me. 1,000%, he assured her. Margaret, when I left everyone at Rikers, I hurt Joe. I hurt all of you, but especially Joe. I will not allow that to happen again, not ever. But now, he is hurting, and I can't do anything about it. You are both hurting. Please, please, talk to him. She stood up. Where is he? Now. In his cabin. Sitting back on the couch, she pulled shoes on. Do not ever mention we had this conversation. We are only having this conversation because I can't tell anyone about what was said to me in confidence. Damn it, this ship needs a real doctor, so I don't get myself into situations like this. There was a knock at my cabin door as I was trying to sew my new insignia on a service uniform top. Nobody knocked on doors, they pressed the buzzer or called on the intercom. The unexpected sound startled me and the needle slipped, stabbing my thumb. Shit! I sucked on my thumb, then wrapped it in a tissue. Who is it? It's me, someone said through the intercom. I knew that voice. Oh, shit. What was she doing here now? Crap. I knew why she wanted to talk. The ship was flying toward Earth. Once we got there, we would go our separate ways and not see each other for a while. Maybe ever. Crap. This was going to be awkward. I hated that I had put her in the position where she needed to have an awkward conversation. I should have said something earlier, or just sent a brief text message. I am a dumbass. A cowardly dumbass. "Good afternoon, Gunnery Sergeant," I said as I slapped the button to open the door. It occurred to me then that she had never been to my cabin, never seen my cabin. There wasn't any reason for anyone to be in my cabin normally, other than Reed and Frey coming into my cabin after the homicidal bedsheet tried to strangle me. None of the crew had ever walked through that door. Skippy's little bots did all the cleaning and laundry and other domestic chores for me. She strode in, brushing past me, her eyes down. That surprised me. I had expected we would have a brief conversation in the doorway. Technically, she violated protocol by coming into my cabin without an invitation, and I heard my idiot brain tell my mouth to say, Fortunately, that's all I had time to say. I turned to follow her, and the door automatically slid closed behind me. Duh. Of course she wanted privacy. This would be an awkward, very personal conversation, and my cabin was too close to the ship's bridge. With Valkyrie jammed full of people, the passageway outside saw more traffic than usual. Neither of us needed rumors flying around about an argument, or even a tense discussion. "I'm sorry," I said before she could speak.
"For what?"
She still wasn't looking straight at me. Her eyes flicked toward the couch and table where I had my uniforms laid out. "Gunny, I didn't mean to, but I took advantage of you when you were..." I tapped my temple. "You know, recovering." She looked at me only for a fleeting moment.
"You didn't do anything wrong."
"Not intentionally, no. But as the commander, I..."
"Please shut up."
She stepped forward and kissed me, pushing me back against the wall. I am taller, so she got on tippy-toes and tugged on the front of my shirt. Because I am a gentleman, I didn't fight her. Also, because I was so stunned, my brain wasn't functioning. She broke away, her face inches from mine. Balling up the front of my t-shirt with her fists, she looked down, pressing her face into my chest.
"Skippy says I should trust you," she whispered.
My face probably got a deer in the headlights expression.
"About what?" "Us."
She looked straight at me, searching my eyes.
"There is an us? If you want."
"If I want?
What about Joe?"
She pressed a finger to my lips.
"For God's sake, please stop talking. Kiss me."
"No, you perverts out there are not getting any details." You know what the best part of sex is? Okay, I mean, the best part of sex with a woman you love, or man you love, or whatever? I can only speak about my experience. The best part is lying in bed with her warm, soft skin against you, and talking. Simply talking. Guys, listen, yes. I know that is not what everyone considers the best part. I'm talking about me, not you. No, I do not want to know what you do in bed. Yuck. The last thing I want to think about is your hairy ass bouncing up and down. Oof. Now I need to stab my brain with a fork to kill the memory of even saying that. I should say that talking is not the best part of being with every woman I have, you know, been with. There have been times when I was counting off seconds in my head, wondering how soon I could bolt out the door. At times like that, the woman is probably having severe regrets about me being there, so we'll call it even. What was I talking about? My brain is so flooded with happiness, I can't think clearly. Oh yeah, I was talking about talking. Bumping body parts together is not intimacy, not necessarily. Letting someone inside your guard, being vulnerable, that is intimacy.
"Margaret, you can call me Maggie," she said, her head lying on my chest.
When she talked, I could feel the sound in my chest. That made me lift my head off the pillow.
"Really?
Joe." She kissed me and tapped the tip of my nose with a finger.
"You can call me Maggie in private if you like. My parents call me that."
Okay. I could not bring myself to say her nickname yet.
Skippy said you should trust me?
Did he say how?
Yes. Don't you remember? Do not say,
Pressing my lips together helped avoid saying anything stupid, giving me time to think.
Trust that I wouldn't take advantage of you? No, silly. I know you wouldn't do that.
Okay. Other than, I got nothing here. Help me out?
You don't remember your promise?
Sorry. Saying, is kind of an automatic with me. I promised to rescue the people from Rikers?
Before that.
She must have seen the blank look on my face. She pressed her face into my chest, nipping me.
Men!
I made a promise? My brain was being zero help to me. Then it hit me.
Oh. You promised to find a way, a legal way we could be together. Otherwise, mister, we are both in big trouble right now.
I haven't had time to... Holy shit.
That was not the right answer.
Stay here. It took a minute to get arms and legs untangled so I could get out of the bed. She bashed my ear with an elbow, and I rubbed my ear as I walked across the cabin to the couch.
Nice view.
She propped herself up on one elbow. Thanks. I blushed, which was stupid. I mean, we were both naked. I'm not used to women admiring my buns. Here. I held up one of my new standard field uniform tops and tossed it to her. She caught it, looking puzzled. Check here. I tapped my chest.
Oh,
she gasped, noticing right away that the usual U.S. Army patch was replaced by something different.
Joe, what is going on? What is GPR Skippistan? Is this a joke?
It's not a joke, I assured her as I slid onto the bed next to her. It had felt awkward to be having a discussion while standing around naked. That stands for Glorious People's Republic of Skippistan. It took some explanation for her to understand, and more to make her believe it was true.
You're really doing this?
Yes, I have to.
For us?
For us, too. My face reddened. Mostly, I'm doing it to avoid having to turn over control of the Elder weapons to any country on Earth. Maggie, I said. And man, it just felt wrong to use a nickname for her. Humanity, I mean. We can't afford for those weapons to be the source of conflict or even rivalry between nations. If I'm a serving American Army officer, I can't refuse an order to surrender control to NCA. But if I do that, the Chinese and Indians and everyone else will freak out, and I can understand that.
You're an American, Joe.
She searched my eyes again. I am. Removing the Elder weapons as a potential source of conflict helps our national security. Can you see that?
It's above my pay grade. Yours, too.
It is, but somebody has to do it. Listen, if UNEF can get its act together and establish a real unified command with proper security protocols and checks and balances, I will be happy to give up control of those damned weapons. I don't want them.
That's good.
It is?
Yes. If you did want to control the weapons, I would worry about you.
Oh, thanks.
What's the plan, then?
Short term? Hopefully longer than that. I've got short term and medium term. Anything longer is way above my pay grade. I didn't add that long term planning was also not one of my core strengths. Short term, we get to Earth, deal with a whole lot of shit, and I submit a resignation letter.
The Army won't just let you go. You haven't served 8 years as an officer.
Yeah, but I have served 4 years active duty. I'm hoping to work out some arrangement like I go into the reserves and I get seconded to Skippistan on special duty. Something like that.
You can't just leave because you want to, Joe. The military isn't like working at Walmart.
I know, listen, Maggie, I said slowly, rolling the unfamiliar word around my tongue. It still didn't feel right. These are very special circumstances. I'm adapting. There has to be a way for the Army to adapt with me.
What if the Army says no? They could just slow roll your paperwork. I'll nuke that bridge when I get to it. I looked up at the ceiling, avoiding her eyes. If I have to, I might work out something with my JAG lawyer, except a less than honorable discharge. She sat up in bed, staring at me, horrified by what I said.
You wouldn't.
I committed mutiny. I stole a national strategic asset, a starship. Now I'm holding the keys to strategic weapons and refusing to hand them to NCA. The Army would have a strong case for cutting me loose. What I did not say was that the Army would have an equally strong case to throw me in jail. I also did not say that I would not allow anyone to throw me in jail. There was too much at stake. Her face clouded over.
Please tell me, she said, her voice hoarse with emotion. You are not doing this just for me.
For us. I squeezed her hand, trying to get her to look at me. And no, that's not the reason I'm doing this. If we're going to survive this war, win this war, I need flexibility to act. Getting second-guessed about everything we do out here is bullshit.
Joe.
She still wasn't looking at me, and her body language was not showing her open to discussion. She had my new uniform top hugged close to her chest.
We have always been pirates, but that is a joke. If you are really going to be a pirate, with no authority from anyone but yourself.
Her voice trailed off, and a tear rolled down her cheek.
I don't know if I can,
Margaret. Margaret, hey, look at me, please. Margaret. Warily, she gave me the side eye, so I plunged ahead.
Has anything I have ever done made you think I am some power-hungry asshole?
That I could ever be someone like that? She had to think about it for a moment. The good news was that she turned to face me again.
No. Trust me.
I caressed her face.
Please. Damn it, if I'm doing this, I need you. I will need someone to tell me if I'm becoming an asshole. I need to know you have a plan.
I do. Skippy and I talked about it. He promised me he will make the Army
an offer they can't refuse.
I grinned. Her reaction wasn't what I hoped for. Sorry, that was a bad joke. He plans to make a deal with the Army. A deal that is good for both sides.
Trust me. Please.
She took a breath.
Okay. Thank you. I know this isn't easy for you. It's not easy for you, either.
She tapped my chest with a fingernail. Can I ask, why today? Why did you come here today? What changed?
Skippy doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut.
She made a single finger gesture to the ceiling, though I was sure that Skippy was not listening.
This time, she sighed. That is a good thing. He told me that I should trust you. I realized he is right because you showed me I can trust you.
I did? For future reference, what did I do?
It's what you didn't do. When I was in working to disable the explosive charges in the basement of that dormitory building and the supervisor was coming in through the front door, you didn't order Smythe to pull me out. You trusted me to make the call if I couldn't handle it. Someone else, whose name I won't say, she frowned, wanted to leave his post to rescue me. When I need help, she jabbed a finger into my chest, I will ask for it.
I can't say that I wasn't tempted to call Smythe and order you out of there.
You didn't. That's what matters. You trusted me as a Marine. Joe, I'm a woman.
You are? I gasped. Oh, then you being in my cabin is totally inappropriate.
I'm being serious.
She slapped my cheek softly.
Women in combat roles is still rare, even out here. I would not have qualified for a star team if I had remained dirt side, I know that.
Sure, but you've earned it. You earned it the hard way, in action. You showed Smythe and Kapoor in the team. They can count on you to do the job for real.
You've never treated me differently because I'm a woman. Until now. She actually blushed. That means a lot. She must have forgotten how when I busted her out of a Kristang jail, I had stopped to find clothes for her because she is a woman. Thanks. Also, Skippy told me, Dr. Skippy told me, that when we talked while I was recovering, I was not impaired back then. Not in any important way. I feel the same about you now as I did before the injury. I remember that. I know that.
Thank God for that.
My mother would slap me for blasphemy, but I can also thank Skippy.
We can all thank him. We just shouldn't tell him. His ego is big enough already.
Joe. She held the SFU top closely, peering at it. Skippy made this?
Yeah, why? He says the army owns the digital pattern on U.S. camo, so he had to make his own. Is there a problem?
She snorted and giggled. Have you looked at it?
It's camo, why? There's more gray in it than the usual.
No, look at the pattern.
I did, closely. Then I held up my Z phone, using its flashlight function for better lighting.
Shit. I started to shout for the little shithead. Margaret put a hand over my mouth. I would rather not see Skippy right now, she explained.
Right. That asshole.
The camo pattern was digital, slightly more complicated than the U.S. standard. When one of his bots brought in a pile of the new field uniforms, I had glanced at the pattern and figured it was some fancy fractal thing. It was not fractals. The pattern was tiny monkeys, repeated over and over. Some of the monkeys were doing things that I would rather not talk about.
I'm gonna kill him.
Don't.
No?
No, she giggled. It was odd hearing our badass gunnery sergeant giggle. It was also a happy, musical sound.
I think it's funny.
Hey, you won't be wearing it.
Even better.
Joe, will this work? For us?
Yeah, I think so. I really do.
How can you be sure? You know how sneaky, sketchy, and underhanded Skippy can be sometimes?
Sometimes? You know what I mean.
Skippy is gonna put his superpowers to work for us this time.
Oh.
Wow. She put a hand over her mouth and laughed.
What?
Joe, now I feel sorry for the army.
You're announcing this tonight?
She pointed to the new patch on my new uniform.
That's the plan, yeah. I want the crew to have time to think about it before we return to Earth.
She sat up in the bed.
You should work on what you're going to say tonight.
I will later, but I look down toward my waist, if you know what I mean.
Something's come up.
Oh. I see that. It looks swollen.
It does.
A Navy corpsman would prescribe 800 milligrams of Motrin and a glass of water.
That won't work. It needs more personal attention.
I don't know.
She looked toward the door.
I really should go.
But when a guy gets excited like this, it hurts so bad if he doesn't get relief.
Oh, bullshit, she laughed. Has that line ever worked on a woman?
I kissed her then.
I'll let you know in half an hour.
She kissed me back.
Better make it an hour.
She got dressed and left about 90 minutes later, after she took a shower, and complained that my bathroom had only soap and basic shampoo. Maybe I should ask Skippy to discreetly bring in whatever mystery products women use for showering. Anyway, I got out of the shower and picked up my Z phone, checking messages. There were a lot of messages backed up, including several calls from Sims.
Exo, I called her.
Just a minute, she said, and I heard footsteps. Speaking quietly from wherever she was, she added,
Are you all right, sir?
Never better, I replied.
Why?
Skippy intercepted my calls, told me you were busy.
Yeah.
I could feel my face turning red. Before Adams left my cabin, I had asked Skippy whether anyone was in the passageway outside so she wouldn't be seen walking out my door. Sorry about that. I'll explain tonight. Did I miss anything?
We are approaching the relay station. We'll be in range within 17 minutes.
Crap. I should have kept track of the time. Picking up one of my still official U.S. Army uniforms, I dried my hair with a towel. I'll be right there. That evening, I announced my intention to resign or suspend my commission and take up service with the armed forces of Skippistan. The crew had more questions about Skippistan than they did about my plans to leave the army. I took that as a good sign of their faith in me, although Sims kept my ego in check.
I will believe it when I see it, sir. Whatever deal Skippy is planning to make with the Pentagon, it has to be something special.
It will be, I assured her, though Skippy hadn't told me of his plan. I had to trust him. You know how well that worked the last time.